This morning, I've got a couple different titles. Donnie said, "Well, what's the title?" And on one of my notes, it says obedience, and on another, on the one that I have here, it says repentance and humility. So you kind of know where this is going, huh? Repentance and humility, and we're going to start in the book of Mark, chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. We just read this 2 weeks ago in our Bible study. And it really stood out to me how that the disciples did the same thing that Jesus and John the Baptist did, and it worked really well for them. Mark 6 and 12 and 13 says, "So they went out and preached that the people should repent, and that they cast out many demons, and they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them." Let's pray. Lord, we're thankful for your word today, and we pray, Lord, that this word will not bring discouragement to anyone, but rather encourage us all. And encourage us, Lord, to focus on who you are, your greatness and your glory. And Lord, that we may be helped by hearing your word and obeying it. I pray, Lord, that you'll strengthen us all by the power of your Holy Spirit. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. So in the book of Matthew 3 and verse 2, John the Baptist speaking and saying, "Repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And then Mark 1, 14 and 15 says, "Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, 'The time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel.'" So, just so you know, I'm not preaching to you as though you were constantly sinning and awful people, although Becky did confess something this morning, and she said she confessed to her mom, and I would have to confess the same thing in the same situation, and we won't get into that. That's private matter that was shared in Sunday school. You missed it, you missed it. But repentance, the word repent means after to think. How many knows it's too late to think after in most situations? But the Lord has given us a wonderful, wonderful opportunity to, after we didn't think and we did, that we can go back to Him and pray and He'll forgive us. The Webster's Dictionary says to feel contrite for or regret. If you have no regrets, raise your hand. Well, then we're okay on this, I guess. To be penitent, this is the second definition, to be penitent for and determined to change. And what I like to think of is we all know that beginning experience when we came to a place of giving our hearts and lives to the Lord. And we repented. We came before Jesus and we said, "We're sorry for the sins that we've committed and we want you to change us." And when He changed us, and there's been amazing changes in people after they've come before the Lord and repented. And amazing the weight of sin that's lifted off. The purity we read in Revelations where Jesus died so that we might be washed by His holy blood. And when we are washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, we're pure. The things that we had done are erased and gone, and we start brand new in the Lord Jesus Christ. But after we've been saved, repentance is still okay. I know there's some doctrines that disagree with this, but I disagree with the doctrines that do. Because I see the benefit of a repentant heart and a And it goes right along with a humble heart before the Lord. Because I believe that there is things for you and I to gain as we keep a repentant heart before the Lord. And again, not that we're evil and you know, always in trouble, sinning and breaking the will and the word of God, but by the fact that Jesus Himself said to pray daily, "Forgive us this day our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." So if we continue that practice of repentance and humility before our God, we will see benefits. We will see blessings. Just like when you came the first time before the Lord and you prayed through, wow, salvation. What kind of a benefit is that? That's incredible. And then you begin to do the things that are pleasing to the Lord, and He blesses your life and He sets you up for an eternity. But retirement is kind of things that people are talking to us my age now. And that's not something I'm anxious to talk about so much, but I am anxious to think about the things that we have been investing in heaven. Brother Kincaid said everything that we've done for the Lord and every work and act that we've been investing is eternal. And Jesus said anything you've invested in heaven is forever. It won't rust or be destroyed or be stolen. So we have investments in heaven because of the repentance that we had before the Lord Jesus Christ. So because of the condition of repentance, we have blessings that will help us now and help us forever. There's healing, there's a million things that the Lord does for us when we keep our heart right in Him. Now, if you'll turn with me to 1 Samuel, I'm actually going to take you on four different places in the Bible to where we can picture in our minds. I know you can see Jesus and John and the disciples preaching repentance. And then in 1 Samuel, Brother Connor's been ministering to this the last couple of weeks as well. But I just feel like that there's two verses here in chapter 15, 22 and 23 that we need to look at in this for this text. And there, how many's found it? I'm going to take a drink real quick. All right. So in verse 22, it says, "So Samuel said, 'Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord?' Behold," and you know, what he's pretty much saying is this doesn't take a genius to figure out. "Behold, to obey is better than to sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of the rams." Verse 23, "For rebellion," get that, "for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft and stubbornness." It would have been better if they had used a different word, because I think a lot of us kind of get on this stubbornness every now and again. "And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, He has also rejected you from being king." Now, Samuel's speaking to King Saul, the first king of Israel. And in the Message Bible, I'm going to read it. It says, "Do you think that all God wants are sacrifices, empty rituals just for the show? He wants you to listen to Him. Plain listening is the thing. Not staging a lavish religious production. Not doing what God tells you is far worse than fooling around in the occult. Getting self-important around God is far worse than making deals with your dead ancestors. Because you said no to God's command, He's saying no to your kingship." The Amplified Bible in this 23rd verse says that people have what they call a teraphim. Stubborn adultery is, a teraphim was like a household good luck image. And there's a lot of people that have little images that, you know, and other cultures and other religions. We don't have that so much, I don't believe. But anything that we depend on rather than depending on God and God's Word. Now, what did Saul do? God told Saul, go in and destroy the whole group of people to leave absolutely nothing. Not one soul alive. And this is pretty aggressive. This is actually, it's almost, in our thinking, cruel. But God had a reason for it, because He was trying to destroy the influence of sin that would come back upon Israel at a later point. And so he said, destroy everything and everything that they have. And what did they do? Saul kept Agag, the king, and he kept some of the best things. And as Brother Connor emphasized it, he said, well, the people made me do it. The people influenced me the wrong way. I couldn't help it because of the people. But what God was looking for out of Saul was obedience. And Samuel said, well, when you were just starting, you weren't important in your own eyes. You thought of yourself, you were a humble man. But then all of a sudden you take on this kingly role and you have thought yourself more important than the Word of God. And for anybody, that's a big problem. That's a huge problem. And what God wants us to do is obey His Word. And if we don't obey, of course, we have a wonderful advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one that can bring us back to a place of purity. But obedience is the very best place to be. It's very comfortable for us, and it's pleasing to God. Sacrifice is a poor substitute for either repentance or obedience. And to give God to... A lot of people want to go ahead and do what they want to do, and then they want to make it up to God in a way that is easier for them. Sacrifice is no problem. We can do that. We'll sacrifice these ones that we brought out and that we disobeyed. We'll use our disobedience to honor God with sacrifices. And God said, I don't think so. I want your obedience, and I don't want your foolish sacrifices. I don't want you to make up ways that you can please me. I want you to please me by obeying my word. And so God, and then Samuel spoke, and he said, and rebellion. That's an easy place to get to if we're not careful. Even good people can become rebellious. We want to watch that with all that we can. Rebellion is like witchcraft. That's awful. Witchcraft is a total, absolute aggravation before God, void of any, all evil and void of any good at all. And God said, if you get rebellious, you're like that. You're like the witches. Saul went to a witch to get word from Samuel, and the witch was afraid because she knew that witches were under the law. Witches were dead. They're going to destroy them. And so she delivers, and Samuel said, to Saul, you're on your own now. You're pretty much toast because of your disobedience to God at that point. And then another word, stubbornness. It's to live in sin, and it's the same as living in sin and worshiping idols. It's a wrong alliance for rebellion and stubbornness to come into our life, and it's in God's face. It's totally against what He wants to do. And why would anybody want to be in the face of a God who loves us so much, who treats us so tenderly, and be ungrateful to such a wonderful God? And so Samuel is a voice of purity and clarity in the time of Saul's disobedience. And Saul said, well, you know what? I know I've done wrong, but I want you to hang out with me and kind of cover for me, because I need that. Saul did not have a repentant heart. He just wanted to make it up to God in other ways. He really didn't come clean before the Lord in his own spirit. In the book of Psalms 51, we're going to make another change here. Psalms 51 and verses 10 through 12. This whole chapter of Psalms 51 is the best repentance chapter in the Bible, in my estimation. We sing a song very close to these words. And it says, create in me a clean heart, O Lord. O God, I'm sorry. And renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. We sing this, and the setting of this, Samuel was a prophet that came to Saul, and Saul pretty much said, it is what it is. But when Nathan came to David and told him a story about someone taking a lamb from their neighbor that had all that they needed, but took that one, and David was irate, and he said, I will tear him up. And then Nathan looked at David and he said, David, thou art the man. You're the one, because Uriah had one wife and you took her away and you did what was wrong in the sight of God. Now, in some ways, wouldn't it be David did worse than Saul? and David had Uriah killed, that's awful. But the difference is the repentance and the heart. And where David comes before God and said, oh, I do not want, I've done wrong, but I don't want to lose the connection that I have with you, Lord. I don't want to lose your favor, and I don't want to lose your fellowship. I can't stand that. So create in me a clean heart. Read this whole chapter. It will lift you up, even though you see the circumstances and how bad things were. Yet David said, create in me a clean heart. Renew the right or steadfast spirit within me. Don't cast me away from your presence. And David felt what he was saying. He was in big trouble. You know, as angry as he was at that, the person in that story Nathan told, he knew that God had every bit that much reason to be angry at him. Because David was blessed. David was the king from being a shepherd. He was raised quickly into a place of, and not an overnight thing, but, and he had a lot of difficulty getting to that place, but he was really elevated and God blessed him. And yet he failed before God and before man. But he got repentance right. And that's one thing we can't get wrong. It's people that play with the world and the things of the world, as a Christian, there's a lot of folks in other churches that do that. How many understand the spirit of what I'm saying? There are people that claim to be Christians that live like the devil during the week. And there's a problem with that because it's very risky. When we repent before the Lord, we need to know that that's the right thing, that our spirit is right on, because it's what keeps us in communication and fellowship with the Lord. Here's one area we cannot fail, because salvation, all of our benefits come from true repentance. I was listening to, I probably made two mistakes last night. I watched a Bible AD thing about Jesus and, you know, some of the works of him, and I probably have more complaints than I do, you know, really what I saw. Oh, that could have been different. That could have been better and all of that. But I also listened to a Sid Roth program where a lady was talking, and a lot of what she said, I thought, that's weird. I don't know if I, you know, and it seems like a lot of people have gimmicks on how we can do this, do that, and get a special blessing of God. But you have to do it their way, right? You have to do this certain thing, wear this prayer shawl, or, you know, some special magic words. For the most part, I don't buy that. Let me tell you what I buy. I buy that God can communicate with your heart directly, and you don't need all of those foolish things. You don't need a magic formula of saying certain words in a certain order. What you need to do is come before God with a true heart, and God will bless you because He loves you. We don't have to earn anything or go anybody's special direction. This lady said something that I really do believe, though. She said, repentance opens us up for revelation. I believe that. I believe if we keep a humble, repentant heart before God, that God will bring things to our mind, and I believe we need to want that. We need to really want the revelation of Jesus more, 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 and each and every day. But as far as having to say a certain thing, we also watched last night a tribute to John Paul Jackson, who was on Daystar a lot. He passed away, I guess, in February. This was an awesome man. I loved his teaching, his interpretation of dreams, and just an awesome man of God. I really feel like we've lost in the Christian community because he was such a good man. And as the Daystar people said, but he's not just a part of our past, he's a part of our future. So he is forever with the Lord. He's done his good deeds and works and been a great example. But repentance keeps us flowing in the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want to finish one more example. In the book of 2 Chronicles, this is one you've heard a lot. Matter of fact, Debbie's got a Dake's Bible. She's going to read a couple of numbers for me. But she said that I preached this in 2007. So I'm repeating it. But I've preached it since then 100 times. So I'm really repeating it. 2 Chronicles 7 and 14 in the New King James Version says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. Now, if I were really humble, I would say drop the H and go humble. But I'm the younger generation and I say humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. You know what America needs today? This word. Now, Samuel delivered to Saul. Actually, Jesus and the disciples and John the Baptist delivered to the people of their day. Samuel delivered to Saul. Nathan delivered to David. But God delivered this word to Solomon. Isn't it amazing how that David fell from the grace of God with Bathsheba? And God allowed Bathsheba's son Solomon to be the next king? That's incredible. But God knows what he's doing. Solomon, the wisest man outside of Jesus Christ that's ever lived. And Solomon built a temple that David couldn't build because of what he had done. David, the great psalmist, and the one that had not only put in, he got a lot of the materials together. He did a lot of work on this. But God said, your son will build the temple. David supplied worship. He supplied everything nearly to do this. But Solomon's the one that did it. And when he did it, the Spirit of God came down and God said, I like my temple. Not to say that it wasn't going to be destroyed a couple of times, but and is destroyed now. And on that site is the Dome of the Rock, a Muslim, whatever. Huh? Mosque. Okay. Mosque. God loved the temple that Solomon had built, filled it with his presence. Not even the priests could stay in there. And they were really worshiping God. Read the numbers on how much the offerings that Solomon offered. 2,000 oxen at $300 and $25 each, or a total of $7,100,000. Now that's an estimate back in when the Dakes was writing this commentary. It could be double or triple that today. I don't know how much an oxen costs because I'm not going to buy them an oxen. I'm going to buy me a roast down at Safeway, not an oxen. And we don't have to offer sacrifices, but there was a tremendous effort that they did in offering these sacrifices and in bringing before God. And it was a thing of giving of their finance. It was a thing of giving of their energy and strength. Can you imagine what labor it took to offer that before God? That was a tremendous amount of work. But God was pleased and God was happy and His presence filled that place. And God said, okay, I know how you people are. You're going to mess up. But when you do, if you will just come back to me and humble yourself and pray and seek my face and turn from your wicked ways, and I'll hear from heaven. I promise you, I'll hear from heaven. And I'll forgive the sin and heal their land. America needs us so much today. We need to pray for our country. You know, I mean, there's a lot of things I'd like to see done. If I were in control, there'd be some real bad changes, good changes made real quick. But that's not going to happen, but I can pray that God will bring revival to this country. And more than the political thing and more than all that's going to happen, what we need is revival in the land. We need people coming back to God and being pure before the Lord. The conditions of blessing were that the people would humble themselves, pray, and seek God's face, and turn from their wicked ways. And the blessings for obedience was, I'll hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. More than anything else, a repentant and humble and obedient heart today will give us a connection with God where all things are possible to us, in our lives. If we, of course, anytime we get stubborn and we get rebellious before God, that's not a good thing. We saw that in Saul's life. We saw in David how he did awful things. Awful things. Most people don't ever do anything like that. But he had a repentant heart that the Lord observed. Debbie, would you come to the piano? So today, my focus is that there are things that we need. We've seen people sick lately. We've had a rough go in the last little bit. And I don't know about you, but I want to see people healed. And I want to see deliverance. There's lives that are bound in sin that are close to us. My nephew called me and was telling me about his life and the life of his mom and dad, and they're in such a hard way. There is nothing in the world that I can do to help them. They're devastated, and they've lost their house and everything, and they don't have any means at all, hardly. I can't do anything, but God is able. Amen? And what we do have the power for is to ask the Lord in their stead. We are able to do that. Would you stand with me this morning? And let's pray a prayer, and then we're going to take some time to kneel and pray. Precious Jesus, we want always to stay humble and repentant before you. We want our attitude to be pleasing to you and our hearts right. I pray, Lord, that you will create in us a clean heart. That you'll renew your spirit, Lord, and just bring great revelation to us. But Father God, we have a great concern for our people who are sick. We pray, Lord, that you'll bring a healing flow in their lives, deliverance, Almighty God. Jesus, for those lives who are close to us that are bound in sin, Lord, we need them to be saved, and we pray that you will intercede in their hearts and lives. Lord, that you'll break the bondage of sin that's upon them and bring deliverance so that they can live forever like we will. I pray, Lord, for every need, for every heartbreak, for every situation, Lord, every destruction that's come upon us, that you'll bring a healing and a restoration. Lord, minister to our lives today, and we'll honor you. Before I go on, I'd just like to ask the question, is there anyone here this morning that'd like to raise your hand and say, Jim, I'd like you to pray for me. I need to know Christ. I'm not committed in the way that I want to be, and I want to know him today. I want to leave this building knowing the Lord. When I was young, we used to hear all kinds of stories about people leaving the church and running into trees and dying. And I'm not coming to you from that perspective. I'm saying this, that when we leave a place of where God's presence is, we need to know Jesus. We need to have his best in our lives. No sense in any other way. Anyone at all, then would you all find yourself a place and let's just kneel before God, take a few minutes. And remember, take a nap so you can be rested up for tonight. God bless you. Thank you. Praise God. Jesus loves us. This we know, for the Bible tells us so. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for this day. We pray, Lord, your blessing upon your people. Lord, you see every little nook and cranny in our lives, and we pray that you'll bless that part. Everything, Lord, that you'll bring answers to our questions, strength to our living. Lord, that you'll bring such a blessing of your provision, healing power in our lives. We honor you today because you're everything to us. You're our peace. You're our power, Lord. You're strength in our lives. We honor you. Amen. Praise God. See you after the nap.